I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To the Wise Men Say podcast, we're back. I'm Matthew, and I'm back to preview a Sunderland game. We're on the way home from work. We were just leaving work. I'm leaving now. I'm joined once again by Professor Richard Easterbrook.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Hello.
Hello, Wembley.
Hello, Wembley.
Yeah, well, we're just going to have a gent. There's only one thing to talk about, really. There's only one thing. I was just looking at your recent search. Richard's sat nav syncs with his recent searches, and he's obviously been looking at Old Trafford. That's where we nearly went.
That'd be fun.
There's only one thing to talk about, so yeah, we'll just have a chat about that, shall we?
Yeah, what we're talking about.
Well,
the article that you wrote. The
There's an elephant in the room, right? So I've written.
No, you better write a seatbelt on.
What?
Elephant.
I wrote an article this morning and it's caused some stir. Well, not really, but I was right, I think. The season for me is going to take a miracle to not be over. Yes, I know mathematically we can still qualify for the playoffs and, you know, win on Friday. In that article, can we delete it? quietly,
yeah,
then.
The internet always knows.
Well, we didn't delete the one where I said that we would finish fifth, and then we've won once since. So, no, we weren't going to talk about that article. It's had enough airtime. We were going to talk about the Burnley game on Friday.
Yes.
But before we do that, there are a few more injuries to add into the mix. Including probably our best, or one of our best players, Dan Ballard, and what's he got? Yes,
Jebison Bennett.
Yes, him.
He's dislocated his shoulder.
Wait,
and yeah, so it's just. I mean, I don't think any of us are expecting Bennett to play a major role in the next few games. But he's a useful option.
It's just another option that now doesn't exist, isn't it?
And it's Ballard. Ballard's the big thing. It's like, how much we missed him when he came back from his injury. How effortlessly, he's settled into life as a regular championship starter. Bearing in mind, it's his first big move, a permanent move out of like the youth system, and he's. He's really kind of taken to it well, and he's a player that you look at. If we were to get promoted at some point in the next 5 years, he'd be a player that would settle into that quite well. He's got all the tools.
There's an argument for him to settle in the Premier League now.
Yeah,
maybe. But he's out for 3 weeks, which kinda. It's not far off the end of the season, that is it, really?
Well, it covers Easter, so that's like two games out there. I don't know how many games he's going to miss in total, but it's...
Might miss three off. Well, he will miss at least three, you'd think.
Yeah.
He'll miss Saturday, and then he'll miss the next two, and then I don't know when the midweek Huddersfield game is and the stuff, but... Look, it's just another thing that Tony Mowbray is going to have to deal with, and he's done remarkably well to deal with the stuff he's been dealt with so far. So there's two more players missing for you, Tony.
Big frustration is that against Luton Town, which I haven't spoken about since well, I've spoke about it, just not on a podcast, like the Luton Town game, and when we changed that 3-4-3, 3-5-2-ish kind of formation, you know, with half an hour on the clock, we looked better, a better prospect.
We looked really good.
We looked more solid, and now we've lost that option. Well,
we've got Joe Anderson.
Yes, yes. We have Joe Anderson as much as I have Vietnamese rice paper in the cupboard at home.
Oh, right, it's just sort of sat there.
It's there.
Right, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be able to do anything with it.
I'm very confused by Joe Anderson.
I thought you were about to say Vietnamese rice paper.
I'm confused by why you have that.
It's got a million uses, but I don't know any of them.
What? Joe Anderson has a million uses?
Well, I can think of one. Where it is comedy lips.
Yeah. I'm needed in the basement. Well, but he might have to. Well, what else do you do?
Well, other than O'Nien's now going to have to start in alongside Danny Bart, you'd think, if we're playing in a four. But
well, yeah, he could go to a three and bring Serkin back after his.
Yeah, well, Serkin has played in a three. He's played in the left side of a three, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But it's still like massive question marks over.
Well, he's
his fitness.
Yeah, he's recovering from concussion still. Well, is he back? I don't. Well, he hasn't played since, has he?
No, but I think he was involved in the pre-match TV stuff for the club.
Right.
Against Luton, so so I guess he's been when he's. I know he's training, so that's a. Progress.
Well, hopefully you can play, because it's not, as we just said, we don't have Joe Anderson aside, we don't have many options. I think Burnett, he was useful. I mean, he looked bright when he came off the bench, and it just removes yet another thing that we could have gone, oh well, we could try this. But it's a shame, and it's happened now. So they just join the growing number of players who aren't going to play for us again, possibly this season. So at least we've got a kind enough game on Friday to ease us back into the championship running.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like last beaten. Well, they were beaten a couple of weeks ago in the cup, but
yes, but they lost to Manchester City. Yeah.
So maybe Manchester City have the blueprint on how to beat Burnley. I guess that would be by having Erling Haaland in the team and also a kind of like a £500 million starting lineup. Maybe that would help. We don't have that, anything near that. So you got to look back to the last time they were beaten, which was November. They've only been beaten twice all season.
Yeah,
they haven't been beaten at home.
No, they've lost two games. They did get hammered off Sheffield United, actually.
Yeah.
And they lost the second game of the season away at Watford. And that's it. So they've dropped 6 points since November the 5th, I think.
Yeah. I think the best example we need to look towards is what Blackpool did in holding them to a 0-0 draw.
For that.
That's...
I don't think we play that way though.
No, like, because we don't know any other.
We're more likely to draw 4-4. Like, which is fine. It'd be great if we drew 4-4. Not if we're 4-0 up. That'd be annoying. Well, how do you say it? Like, we've touched on the team. How do you? What on earth does Tony Mowbray do? Like, we did. We kind of written ourselves off against Norwich, and obviously we went away and won that game, but this is just an entirely different prospect. Burnley are so far clear at the top of the league.
Yeah.
I think if they win this and Good Friday, I think they're promoted.
Yeah. Like I think the 15 clear at the top, 17 clear of Middlesbrough in third.
Maybe they need three wins then, but like it's still, I mean.
So, I mean, beating them is it's doable.
Well, we were 2-0 up.
Yeah, exactly. And those, fortuitous goals as there were chances that we took, and we kind of not bombarded them in the first half, but we kind of just caught them on the hop. But their experience and nous and ability and quality showed. And it was a comfortable victory for them in the end.
The second half performance was the best performance of the season that I've seen a team play against us, and it's no surprise that they're top of the league. I genuinely don't know sort of what to expect from the game on Friday, because we don't, even if saying we don't have it in us to go away and grind out a draw, that's not strictly true. But we don't have the players and the nous to try and do that at the minute. Even if you had an Evans in the middle and you've got Danny Bart, but literally the only experience on the pitch now is going to be him. And I think it's certainly a game Lyndon Gooch comes into the team this.
Yeah, definitely. He showed that against Luton. I thought when he came on, he was eager to please, but also kind of like his qualities. And it's hard work, and he's got a good hard work ethic. You know, he's played every player position on the pitch other than in goal.
Put him in goal.
Stick him in goal. Yeah. Stick him in goal. Then put Patson up front. Where do you think you're going? Kia Picanto.
It's a very snot colour.
Horrible coloured car. You chose that.
Someone has. Maybe not them, but someone has gone into the garage and gone, I'll have it in snot green, please.
Pea green Pier Picanto. Pier Picanto.
Pier Picanto.
Pier Picanto. Put my tree for him.
Right, well, yeah, so I think Gooch comes in. I'm not sure where, not in the middle, not in centre midfield. It wouldn't be a good idea.
If Sergin's fit and he can play a third centre half, I'd put Gooch maybe in left back.
You keep mentioning Sergin, you're not mentioning Joe Anderson.
Yeah, but to be brutally honest, without offending Joe Anderson, his family and friends, and the city of Liverpool, he's... Sergin with a bad head is more use than Joe Anderson to us right now. That's just based on what we've seen.
Sergin's headache.
Yeah, does he Dennis?
Concussion.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Making light of quite a serious concussion.
Yeah, it is, it's terrible. It'd be good to see Sergin.
That's me just being brutally honest. I haven't seen anything of Joe Anderson.
He came on against Millwall. This is why it's quite weird, though. Because he came on against Millwall, 2 days after he signed. He did okay, he did quite well, really, considering Millwall bombarded us in that whole game. He did, because he came on for Sergin, which was when Sergin got walloped by the goalkeeper. He scored, actually, didn't he? He got the... he's obviously... And then that was it. He wasn't even in the squad for weeks after that. He was on the bench again, I think, last week or last time we played. Which is why it's a bit strange, really.
Yeah, we just don't.
It wasn't as if he come on and was a complete disaster. I don't know. Strange, really.
I mean, there's nothing to stop him coming, starting tomorrow night.
He's pretty much ruled out.
I've written him off. If he starts on Friday night, I'll play as man of the match. Just added to the long list of things that I've got wrong.
The growing number of. Things we get wrong.
Well, I'm fine about that. I'm wrong most days.
Yeah. So, man, then you correct them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you'll play Anderson. I'm just being stupid and just. But I think if we can bring Sergin, be good to have Sergin back. Well, I'm on for his health, but too, because he's good. He injects pace and he's a threat as well going forward. Like, even if he's in the third centre back role, he can still get forward. The midfield, Burnley are just gonna, whoever we play in the middle, Burnley are gonna relish playing against, and that's not a slight on the lads that we're gonna play.
Well,
it's just Burnley have just got some good players.
They've got that midfielder whose name completely escapes us. He got injured against Blackpool, he's been out since then. I think he's consistently there. They've been there. They're kind of unsung hero in the middle of the park. I know you got Teller,
Teller's great. You got a hat trick.
He's the top scorer. They've drafted in a couple of players in January, so they've got strength and depth. But certainly in the middle of the park is where games are won and lost. And when you look at games like Luton, where we're kind of thinking, oh God, we're looking a bit lacking in the middle, there's no hiding place tomorrow night. That's a concern. But for all the concern we have, you look at how we performed against Norwich and then think, we did do a job on them.
Once
we scored the second half, we did kind of hold firm, and the likes of Jack Clark playing as like a play like for the first time tracking back, because he famously doesn't track back, but then he was doubling up, helping double up on their right winger. So it can be done. I just don't think it can be done for the length of time that we're going to be doing it on Friday.
And it's going to be against a better team than Norwich.
Exactly.
It's not to say we can't. You know, it's not to say we're going to go out there and get absolutely walloped. Because I think we'll go there and try and win the game. Mowbray's said as much. It's a free hit.
And we'll probably score. We'll probably might score one.
You wouldn't count. You wouldn't. Certainly wouldn't rule that out. I think. You don't know. You look. You, every time you watch Burnley and like just needing a goal, just bring on like Scott Twine and just ping a free kick in the top corner.
Yeah.
The company's like definitely got a lot about him as a manager. I think obviously he's been helped with the I think Man City connection, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept a reasonable chunk of the score. Like Ashley Barnes is still there.
Yeah.
Like and he's only thousands, but like experience there. Like what you need for this league, and just shows that they play like Burnley have sort of refreshed the way of playing since the relegation from the Premier League, but they've still kept a core of experience in there.
Yeah, it's they're kind of like it's textbook how to get relegated and bounce back effectively. Although, you know, we're saying this when there's an AFL charge hanging over their heads.
Yeah.
Which is also...
So they do have to get promoted, don't they?
Well, yeah. If they don't get promoted, that AFL charge, whatever the outcome of it, whatever the outcome of the investigation, it'll be served on them when they're in the AFL, so it makes sense for them to get out of the division now. Hope that it's a financial charge and then pay it off, just like Bournemouth did, you know, 8 years ago when they got promoted and fiddled the FFP system.
Well, yeah, actually...
That's not their fault. That's just... They've spotted a loophole where they can go, well, if they give us a financial charge. Bournemouth got charged £5 million for going over FFP, got promoted.
Where, £80 million, wherever
they went, because they were being backed by a Russian billionaire at the time. So,
They were, yeah.
You know, little old Bournemouth. But, you know, Burnley have probably cleverly played that system. Not Tom Cleverley, but...
No, he plays for Watford. Now seems like quite a good time to hear from a Burnley fan, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt from the No Nay Never podcast joins us. Well, he doesn't join us. We're going to hear from him.
He's going to go and pick him up.
Going to pick him up from Burnley. But yeah, we'll hear from Matt, and then Matt... We'll be back to do some predictions for the game, which should be fun, shouldn't it? We did ask for some questions, but we'll see if there are any then.
Hello, this is Matt from the No Nay Never podcast and football channel. We are an independent Burnley fans podcast and YouTube channel, and we also have a newsletter. We've been going for about 10 years, and we are also part of the TalkSport fan network. So, my thoughts on Burnley's season so far. Well, it's been wonderful, in a word. It's been what we've needed after a number of years of relegation battles that culminated in the eventual relegation last May and the sacking of Sean Dyche last Easter. And even when Vincent Kompany came in last June, we had absolutely no idea what this season was going to bring. We lost a lot of players, both released and sold, and we signed a lot of players. About 16 new players came through the door, and as you know, there was an early start to the Championship season. I think 30th of July was our first match, and we went into that with absolutely no idea what to expect. I think most fans would have been happy to just been in and around the playoffs by the World Cup break, but he got that team playing really well, and he learned from his mistakes as the first half of the season went on, and we went into that World Cup break in a really strong position, and we came out of it and continued that strong form, winning 10 on the bounce. He's coupled that with a couple of really good cup runs as well. In the League Cup, we went out to United in December, and then the FA Cup, we made it all the way to the quarterfinals, first quarterfinal appearance in 20 years, and went out at the hands of City last week. My expectations and hopes for the rest of the season, well, promotion and the title are both pretty much nailed on. Promotion certainly, if we beat yourselves on Friday night and then win at Middlesbrough the following Friday, we will be promoted. And depending on what form Sheffield United bring out of this international break, we could also have the title sewn up because we play them on Easter Monday. If we just continue winning games and Sheffield keep winning games, then I think we'll get the title in the next game or the game after that away at Reading, I think is the mathematical certainty. Thoughts on Sunderland's season so far? Well, it seems to have been quite a mixed bag for you. It seems to have been that a level of inconsistency, some good wins, some good results, and then followed by some defeats that, you know, in this league, I think the key to getting up to the top of it is to have a level of consistency. I've got a lot of time for Tony Mowbray, despite the fact that he spent a lot of time down at the road at our rivals. So I'm hoping that you'll stick with him. I'm hoping that he'll be given the funds he needs in the summer. And then next season, you can just maintain a bit more consistency in performances and results. You could well find yourselves up in the playoffs, because I don't think you'll quite get there this season. I know you're only about 7 points off, 8 games to go, but there's a lot of teams in the mix. Expect both sides to finish roughly where they are at the minute in the table, like I've touched on just before. I think Burnley will come top and win the title, and I think Sunderland will finish in that kind of 7th to 12th kind of band, anywhere within that really. There's only a few points separating those teams, so over the next 8 games, you know, a lot can change, but I think you'll finish somewhere in that band and build on that for next season. My thoughts on where Sunderland need to watch out for this weekend are, well, Nathan Teller was on absolute fire just before the international break, a hat-trick and then goals in other games as well. He's a real star for the minute. We've also got players come back from injury, in particular Manuel Benson, who is quite deadly when he's on form, and we're hoping that on the other side Anas Sarouri will come back out of this international break and rediscover some of his form that he had earlier in the season where he was unplayable as well. So those three in particular are ones to look out for going forward. Prediction for the weekend, well, it's hard to look past the Burnley win. We're unbeaten at home in the league this season. Company is making sure that the team don't take the foot off the gas until that job is done. We've got a record points total to aim for, as well as the promotion and the title. So depending on how Sunderland approach this game, if you pack your midfield and put 10 men behind the ball, we could see it take a while for us to break you down, and it might just be a 1-0 or a 2-0. If you try and play a bit more openly, there's the potential that could go wrong and you could see a 3 or 4-0 win for Burnley. But like I say, I am struggling to see anything other than a Burnley win on Friday night. And the song most associated with Burnley, the one that you probably hear most on Friday, is where we took our podcast title from. It's the No Nay Never song, which is part of the traditional folk song of the Wild Rover. And it's sung about our dear neighbours down the road, and I won't sing it for you. Your fans have probably gone through enough this season without listening to me sing, but it goes along the lines of no nay never, no nay never no more, till we play Bastard Rovers, no never no more. That's the closest we get to a song. Everything else is more of a chant really. So thanks very much for having us on. If your listeners want to hear a bit more detail about Burnley ahead of the match or after the match, we will have a preview show out on Thursday afternoon, and we will have an analysis show out after the weekend. You can find us on all the usual socials at No Name Ever, and all the best for the rest of the season. Cheers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gear up for the match with suitable casual clobber. From overshirts and jackets to polos and tees, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats and more. Fritterskladder is making waves in the pubs and on the terraces. Come join the FDR movement and get 15% off with your discount code WMS. Stand out in the crowd, be indie, search FDR clothing online and on socials.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast, and thanks to Matt for the insight from the Burnley perspective. Right, Richard.
Hello.
You alright?
Same as before.
Are we going to win on Friday?
I'm afraid to say, not that it means anything, because, you know, it doesn't. We're not.
Right. What's the score going to be?
I'm going to say 3-2.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to lead for a bit.
Oh, the crushing, yeah. The hope snatched, yeah, away.
We might even lead twice. They'll pick us back twice, then they'll hit us with, like,
a Scott Twine free kick.
Yeah, just an absolute thunder fucker. And then, yeah. But I think we'll, in the case of me, ma'am, when I go for a job interview, I'll give a good account of myself.
You did all you tried your best, and that's, we can't ask any more of them, yeah, really.
But you are needing to get a job, and you will have to move out because you can't afford.
Yeah, 26. Your best man, for fuck's sake. I think, well, in my article that everyone enjoyed, I said we'd lose 5-3, so I might as well go with that. Really, that would be great. Well, it wouldn't be great. It'd be exciting.
I don't think I got that far.
All right.
You read it.
You edited it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I gave it that headline as well.
Yeah, no. No, you didn't. I'd already written that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Damn it. Yeah.
Not bad. Mouth. We did ask you for some questions, but you're not really... We've done a lot there for us, to be fair. Not that we're struggling for content or anything. Andy Grimm did oblige, though, and he asked, will we do a cross-country road trip? I thought he meant on a train at first. In search of a striker. And who would you like to narrate this journey?
Well, it'll be the narrator, which is John Thompson.
I prefer. Is it John Hannah I like from Race Across the World, Scottish Man?
A Scottish Man, John Hannah, yeah.
I think, for me. He can narrate my bits.
There's a guy who played. Oh, he played a bad guy on Coronation Street.
Richard Hillman.
No,
I love you. Do you want to drive with him? Did you get into the canal?
No, it wasn't Richard Hillman. I think the guy who played John Stape.
Yeah.
He does voiceovers.
He's got a very John Thompson-esque Mancunian voice, but it's very soft and soporific. So I think I'd go for that.
John Stape.
Two. Yeah.
Well, whatever his real name is.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got no idea, but John Hannah for me would narrate it. He's got a lovely voice.
Yes.
Really,
are they asking us who would sign as a striker or just
Who? No. He just says, will you do a cross-country road trip this summer in search of a striker? Yes, we will.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking for Nuka-Cola, looking for number 9.
Yeah. We should do that, yeah. It's a great idea.
And
I almost stole the car there.
Yeah, we'll do that for you. You can come if you want.
Yeah, basically there's 3 seats in the back.
Robert Grimwood's asked, does Bob Murray now regret building the AOL on an ancient burial ground?
Yeah, this is South Tyneside Council up to the old.
I didn't, isn't that right? What?
I don't think it is.
It can't be, surely.
It's built on a farm, wasn't it? But it's famously,
I suppose there are some sheep, but it might be some sheep. But
maybe, yeah. Also, some kind of sheep dogs with it.
Have you forgotten how to try?
I was on the cusp of stalling again. I think it's
looking for number 5.
South Tyneside. South Tyneside Council has famously refused planning for the academy on a number of occasions. So maybe when they finally lost the planning war, I think the it's very boring. But I think John Prescott had to step in as deputy of Secretary of State and approve it. So maybe the South Tyneside Council have issued some kind of curse on the pitch.
Yeah.
Which is leading to all the injuries that we're getting right now. And also all the injuries that we had under Steve Bruce.
I'm choosing to believe that it's actually true and it is built on an ancient burial ground. For no reason other than I would quite like to do that.
Yeah.
Connor wants a hot take from you.
Hot take?
Yeah.
You don't get decent TV tunes anymore. Decent TV themes, you don't hear them.
No, you don't. Is that a hot take? Is it?
That just come up with it now.
Well, that's one of them I gave. I ended up getting, because I said that no one really enjoys drinking red wine at room temperature.
Oh, well, I fully agree with
that.
I know
you did, but not many others did.
I'm a little bit offended that my take was... this stems from the take I noticed during the England match on Sunday, that the camera angle was very close, and I enjoyed that.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
It was
did they win? I don't even know the score.
Yes.
Right.
The camera angle was a lot more zoomed in, and you got a lot more of the action if you were watching on a smaller screen. Whereas a lot of the Champions League games that I've been watching recently, again on a smaller screen, are so far zoomed out that you can see half the stadium.
Well, Fulham's the worst for that. And not that they're in the Champions League. But
Gareth pointed out it was a gantry thing, but it's not a gantry thing. It's a question of how the action is framed. I think it's an issue that needs to be fixed. But that's what sparked this, that reply, and offensive things were said, and I've contacted my lawyers. But my main take for the other week is that TV themes aren't as good as they used to be.
They're not. They're certainly not. What's your favourite TV thing? There's not much to talk about.
Is it a bird?
What bird?
Well, it's like flying, but it's not going anywhere.
It's on a wire.
Is it? Oh, it's one of them.
Oh, is it?
Or is it a drone?
Oh, no, it is. Right, this is... Is it stuck on something?
I'm doing a very good job of it.
Is it like stuck in like a time warp or something?
Wait.
Is it hovering? Is it a...
No.
Is it like a... I don't know any birds. Is it an osprey?
Kestrel.
Is that a bird?
Yeah, osprey is a bird, yeah.
Oh, what?
Well done, you named a bird.
Well, David Attenborough will be on in a minute. Flick some tabs at it, so...
Current best TV theme tune is Succession.
I don't watch
Even then, that goes on a bit, and you think, Christ, just get to the action.
Skip it.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's probably why there's no TV, decent TV themes.
It was pointless, isn't it?
Skip them.
People skip them, yeah.
There we go, let's solve that.
Alright. Good, very good. Right, thanks to Matt again. Thanks to Richard for driving me home.
Not there yet, sir.
Nowhere near home, actually. Bowes Incline we are now. but thanks for getting me here safely so far. Thanks to all of you for listening. and everything's playing, isn't it? Cheers.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.